created live on Fireside.
Welcome to Athletic Definition. I'm your host, Coach Ray Z. Today, we're going to be talking about designer sport babies. We are upon the Final Four for the NFL weekend playoff. And it got me thinking to, you know, with all technology that we have now and the future of sports and fitness, if you've checked out any of my past episodes, you should know I definitely like fitness. I've done episodes like The Future of Fitness. You can check that one out, episode 135, Fitness in the Metaverse. That's episode 137. I actually did this whole episode. I had AI do it for me. I had Dolly did the whole creative art for me. It also did my script. And it is called Fit for the Holidays, an AI Christmas Workout Special. You can check that one out as well. That's episode 166. And because of football, I started thinking, you know what? Brock Purdy wouldn't have his chance to even play because of what is going on now. You may say, well, what's a designer sports baby? And basically, we're getting to the point now where you can do editing of genes, which could just basically, it seems to have benefits and drawbacks, but then that's also going to alter sports. A lot of things may become mainstream because of sports, such as trends, pop culture, shoes, and then it becomes more accepting when you see athletes doing it. The typical male, I believe, is 5'9", Brock Purdy 6'1", 221. That is why he is known as Mr. Irrelevant. He was the last one picked in the NFL draft. And by most standards, he wouldn't have been selected. I personally believe that there's more than just physical ability, you know, gifts such as speed and power. There's something called heart and determination and work ethic. And I don't know that you can really measure that, even if you do editing splices or anything like that. I think of some of the potential athletes that we would never hear of once we start doing this, will we eliminate such a thing as underdogs? Is there going to be a possibility for an underdog? What if everyone is, you know, created to the typical prototype, whatever that may be, whatever the standard may be? Let's say it's 6'2", 220 pounds. Will we have the chance to hear about someone who the coach cut him? You know, the Michael Jordans, the wasn't good enough, that he worked hard, because we're going to be splicing the genes. And, you know, besides just splicing the genes, then you have ethical concerns. You have, for creating, you know, designer, you're basically manipulating human life, and you have a possibility of creating like a genetic elite society as well. There's also, you know, right now with social inequality, this could definitely make it even worse, which is barely kind of getting into the whole tip of it. And I think it's going to speed up. If you go to YouTube and Google like designer babies, you'll find actual videos from like 10 years ago. But now with AI is going to definitely help speed up the process more now. And then, you know, you have the whole possibility of maybe making something worse by, it all sounds good. Like, oh, you know, your kid's going to be born with this disease or something else and we could change it. But what about there's always pressures about society and putting pressures on parents and about having the perfect child. And my child needs to have blue eyes and blonde hair, or needs to have this or needs to have that. So you have all these different questions. And then you also have the possibility to basically lose a whole race, because and what are we going to be actually becoming if we are no longer human? There's so many just risk, and I think it seems right now like there's more drawbacks, just because I don't trust all the humans necessarily. Right now in China, this happened back in 2018. This doctor, even though there's an international law, which I've never heard, I think there's 8 billion people in the world, and I've never heard of a consensus where they all agree. But according to what I heard, all the scientists said that you aren't able to basically mess with embryos that are past 2 weeks. But this one doctor, scientist in China back in 2018, he wanted his two daughters to be born, and they were twins. It's called the CRISPR technique that's supposed to make it easier now, and it'll speed up the process. But he wanted them to be born without the chance of being infected by HIV. It caused a big commotion. As you can imagine, all these questions that religion and ethics and morality and on and on were brought up. So they put the doctor in jail. It's against the law. But as we could see, people could break the law. And who's enforcing the law? Who's checking all over the world? I don't know of a world police. And that opens up another can of worms. But, you know, if you've seen the movie The Matrix, they have like the scene where they have like a bunch of babies being born in like genetic or robotic wombs. And it seemed like, I just saw Matrix the other day, and there's not even a possibility of that. But in China, they already invented it. It's an AI babysitter to take care of your embryos while they're in that generic womb. So I'm like, wow. I mean, it's really here. The time is now. Like, for example, go back and check out that past episode I did. I had ChatGPT write the whole script, and then I had Dolly create the whole art, and it designed a couple work programs for me, and I gave my thoughts on if I thought they were effective or not. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. I think ChatGPT is about 90% efficient, so it still gets 10% wrong. And then also you have to know how to properly prompt it to give you the correct answers, because it could tell you that's not possible, and then you re-enter it or retype it or rephrase it in a different way, and it actually gives you everything. I love sports and I love fitness, and I started thinking, okay, let's see how many people will be like, oh, well, you know what, it's really not going to affect sports, you know. But if you really, really think about it, there has been so many players in everything from Major League Baseball to boxing to MMA to regular martial arts to basketball to NFL that were not the typical standard prototype that you would be like, oh, you know, he's 6'5". Like, everyone talks about Josh Allen, how he's such a, you know, physical athlete. And yet you see guys, Brock Purdy 6'1", Jalen Hurts is 6'1", Patrick Mahomes is 6'1", and I can't remember how tall the other one is, but they're all about, you know, not too bad of a height. So I did some research on heights, and as I mentioned, the average height of a man is 5'9" tall. During the 2021-2022 NBA season, the average height of an NBA player was about 6'6". So now if we're just going to be splicing and changing and doing editing and all that, we could just pretty much create anybody 6'6". And then are we going to destroy the NBA? Are we going to destroy the NFL? Because why shouldn't my kid have, you know, be born fast or have that fast twitch muscle or have the chance to make millions of dollars in endorsements, just like everybody else's parents is going to want their kid to be able to do that. The average weight in the NFL roughly is about 245 pounds. And that really varies based on position. The average height is 6'4" in baseball, MLB. The average height is 6'1". So as you can tell, compared to the average man, 5'9", NBA, NFL, basically professional athletes seem to be a little bit taller. That doesn't mean that people that are not the typical height can't be better athletes, or even just, it's the storyline. It's sometimes that's what makes sports, you know. It's the storyline within the sports. This person got cut, like Michael Jordan from the team, and he persevered. Or, I think someone told Brock Purdy he'd never make it, and just on and on. Just those are the type of things that could change your whole perspective, and I'll get into that more. So then these are some of the top players here. Oh, let me break it down too. As far as the average height of a woman is 5'4". And the average height of a WNBA player is 5'11" to 6 feet. So same thing with girls. Are we going to start changing their height just so that they could play and have a chance to be get that big contract? Who doesn't? Growing up, I wanted to be a professional athlete. didn't have that natural ability, started playing sports way too late. You really have to work on your technique in whatever sport you want to do since you're a young kid. If you want to compete with most of the pros, have been doing it since they're a little kid. So if you start late, unless you're really, really genetically gifted with speed and fast twitch muscles and power and everything else, which I was not, you're just going to be an average Joe. But some of the greatest of all time, like point guard, multiple NBA champion, Isaiah Thomas. I believe he's 5'9". I erased the last part, but if I remember correctly, he is 5'9". Spud Webb, if you've never heard of him, one of the all-time greats in basketball. Some of the best dunk contests back in the day was with Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb. Go back and check those out. I think now the NBA All-Stars coming up. Dunk contest is nothing like it was back in the day. Go back and check it out. Then you have Nate Robinson, who recently, the last time we seen him, he was knocked out by, I can't remember who it was on that Logan Paul or Jake Paul undercard. Regardless of that, just a good athlete. And Nate Robinson is also a three-time NBA slam dunk champion. And he is in the 5 foot. I think I actually didn't write it down, but trust me, he is under the 5'9". I think he's like 5'7". You have Muggsy Bogues, another great NBA player who was not the typical height. Muggsy Bogues was 5'3". And he actually played 14 years in the NBA, which is a long time, especially if you consider his height. Now, with genetic splicing and gene editing and designer babies, will we hear about any of these great athletes? I'm not sure. Not only that, but he actually blocked 39 shots during his whole career. Yeah, Earl Boykins, and he was 5'5", and he also blocked 34 shots. Imagine being 5'5", being in the NBA, and blocking people. That's pretty impressive. In the NFL, Maurice Jones-Drew, 5'7", 207 pounds, running back, excellent career, a really good running back. And when you think 5'7", Steve Smith, wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, former wide receiver, retired now. He also played for the Ravens. He is 5'9", 184 pounds, and he was one of the dogs in the NFL. Like, you don't get tougher than this guy. And if you're going to tell me that you can't make the NFL, I mean, going back, he's a local here from Los Angeles. If you go back, he played a bunch of sports from track. And this is where I go back to, let's think about it as technology keeps advancing, because as I mentioned with AI and the ChatGPT and everything else, it's just speeding up so quickly. There's benefits. They're saying now they have AI programs that will look at x-rays, so and that the AI is reading the x-ray better than a doctor would. So that basically, let's say the doctor messes up and didn't notice that difference, and maybe it's some sort of cancerous thing that could be cut out sooner. Well, the AI makes less errors than the human does, and so it could eventually take over or help. So yes, there's benefits to it, but then there's a bunch of things that are unknown. And I'll get more into that as well. But there's, and I'm just giving you the little tip of the iceberg of some of the great players that you'd be like, oh, well, yeah, they're not the typical, you know, huge, like physically dominant. And even some of them, if they are, like, let's say Roy Jones Jr. is one of the top boxers of all time. He fought Andre Ruiz, who's a heavyweight champion. And according to what everyone thinks, you know, the smaller guy shouldn't be able to beat the bigger guy. But, you know, in America, it's always bigger, faster, stronger. And everyone forgets that size thrills, but speed kills. So I definitely believe in more than just size. I know that it sounds great and everything, but there's, as I mentioned, heart, desire, work ethic, discipline. We have Warrick Dunn. This guy was a badass running back, 5'9", 187 pounds. That's considered small for a running back. One of the best running backs, scat backs of the time. He played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Maybe, I think he might have played for Atlanta. I'm not sure where he ended his career. Then you have Super Bowl champion, future Hall of Famer, Drew Brees, which is only 6 feet tall. Russell Wilson, multiple Super Bowls. I know he won at least one, 5'11". This year, I know he's stinking it up, but we're just going based on career so far. And even not that, just when you're thinking about, you know, prototypical Michael Vick, 6 feet tall. A lot of the quarterbacks are 6 feet, but, you know, a lot of them like the big quarterbacks now. They want like the Josh Allens, like the Ben Roethlisbergers that are, they're mobile quarterbacks who can throw, but that are big so that they won't get hurt as easily. Billy Kilmer, 6 feet tall. And the reason I mentioned him, he is from Azusa, California. And he actually played in the Super Bowl, which that's like one of our best athletes to come out of here. So I mentioned him. And right now, currently, and yeah, he had a horrible season. I heard he's not good at being coached. But this goes to show you, okay, sometimes you can have maybe the physical ability, not the height, but then you are missing maybe some intelligence as far as like emotional intelligence, because you get too upset and then you block people out and it's constructive criticism. Who knows? But Kyle Murray, he is 5'10", quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. Then I'll just name a couple other people that, yeah, you might say, oh, it, you know, it's not real, but the fact that he was able to accomplish it and the fact that he's a smaller guy. Rey Mysterio became world heavyweight champion, 5'6", 171 pounds. And then, as I was mentioning, martial arts, Jet Li, 5'6". Jackie Chan, 5'9". He is the average height of a man. Bruce Lee was 5'8" and weighed 141 pounds. I think most people even now say he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, martial artists of all times. That's debatable. However, his frame and that he's still being recognized as one of the best. And if we just start messing with things and messing with nature, it could be disastrous. So that's why I thought it'd be a great topic for people to think about it, for us to become more aware so we can have these discussions. And this has been going on for many, many years, but I read the New York Times article. It's an older one. This is from February 16th, 2009. And the title is called "The Unintended Consequences of Changing Nature's Balance." And it talks about this little island in between, I think it's between Australia and I can't remember the other one. But basically, they had a bunch of rabbits there, right? And they were not native to this island, and they were eating up all the vegetation. So then what they did is they brought in cats, and then the cats started eating all the birds, and then they were going to become extinct. So then they got rid of all the cats, and then I think they brought in some virus, I forget, Moxie something, and it killed all the rabbits. My point to all that is basically that men, humans, always want to try and mess around with nature, and sometimes they don't even think about the consequences. Like, for example, this happened in Australia. It's called the cane toads, and they were growing sugar cane, and they were getting attacked by these little, I forget, some sort of larva. So they heard about these toads from Hawaii, and they thought, oh, they'd be perfect. They'll eat that larva, and then we will be good to go. And they brought in 100 of these toads. These 100 turned into 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. And now the Australian government's pretty much saying they don't think that they're ever going to get rid of them. They're poisonous. They're the ones causing havoc. And this is what I'm saying about, we need to really think about splicing, playing God, if you're not religious, just for lack of a different term, but basically trying to control everything. Saying, you know, you could eradicate maybe death people, get rid of it. Some people are saying, well, we don't want to get rid, be like we, some people are actually happy with who they are, you know, and we're still barely learning about ourselves, like physically and mentally and everything else. I think maybe 20 years ago, people would be like, no one can run 200 miles, 300 miles. And there's people doing that more and more often. The human limits, you know, people 20 years ago didn't know who Wim Hof is and some of the breathing techniques that he's shown and what the human body is remarkable of doing. And it, we're barely discovering. And if we're all going to just try and take, I don't like cookie cutters. I don't like things that aren't customized because there's always special circumstances. And so I don't think that we can take editing and just apply it to all. And it, I see a lot of problems. And right now it doesn't seem like as a society, we're mature enough with what everything's going on worldwide. And as I mentioned, there's not one size fits all. There, you know, for me, and I'm a big fan of David Goggins. I'm in fact read his books. I have that inner dialogue, and from reading his books, he has that inner dialogue where it's telling him, you know, oh, don't be a little bitch. You got to get up. You got to go do this. You got to go work out. And there's a professor, Russell Hollenbert. He basically said that about 30 to 50% of people don't have inner dialogue or do have inner dialogue. The rest don't. And that's something that he's dedicated his whole career to, but that's something that's barely coming out more into the forefront. And if we take just cookie cutter, we're all just going to do genetic splicing and editing to fix everything. What about people who are Rh negative blood type? So there's so many different scenarios. Overall, who doesn't want to be the physical specimen? Who doesn't want to be a professional athlete? Who doesn't want to make millions of dollars in contracts and shoes and video game deals? I think majority of people do, but some of these athletes that I mentioned, they would never happen. They would never exist if everyone's going to be the typical height, which is 6'6". If everybody in the NBA is 6'6", and we're making all humans 6'6", because that is the standard and now we can do it, then the NBA players are going to have to be like 7'6". And it's just insane. I know that there's smarter people than me out there in generations growing. So I hope that they can come up with something creative that it'll be beneficial for injuries, all for medical advances. But we also, as I mentioned, really have to think about everything as far as humanity and just messing around, especially with sports, because from there, that's where it becomes more acceptable. And some of these treatments are remarkable where you could bring back athletes quicker and quicker. And then the fact that we're getting bigger and stronger and are able to heal. But at some point, ACLs or something, when they can get to the point where, oh, go back in the game. Or, you know, we recently seen, I can't remember his name, but from the Buffalo Bills who got hit. And just for traumatic experience like that, physical injury, I'm all for technology. But just for the sake of, yeah, my kids should have blue eyes because this, or if I make my kid's vision 20/40 instead of 20/20, then he will have an advantage when he's hitting the baseball or the golf ball. And all these little things that, I mean, in a way we could kind of do that now with LASIK surgery. Tiger Woods went from 20/20, or he had worse than 20/20. And then after the LASIK, he, I think, had a 20/40. So really, that's like unfair advantage, kind of like a steroid. And then if you're testing for steroids, are you going to test for genetic splicing? And so many things to think about. I just thought it would be a great topic for people in the sports world to know about in case you're not really so much into tech and what's going on. And as I'm looking forward to watching my 49ers play this weekend, and I see Brock Purdy, as I mentioned, who's 6'1", 221 pounds, and if he can go against what everyone on ESPN, and I think Vegas had them favored, but I think now it's changed. If someone who's not supposed to be there, if someone who is not supposed to be good enough can do it just on, you know, work ethic and talent, because he's not the typical height, that's why he was picked. That's why no one picked him except for the 49ers. That's why he was the last pick in the NFL draft. So many players went before him, and this is where, and we've seen it more than one time, where people are wrong and they're basing too much on, oh, height and weight and things like that. Kurt Warner, he did get, wait, I can't remember if he got drafted or not. I think he did get drafted, went to Canada, came back. But another person who just Doug Flutie, people that you'd be like, oh, these guys can't play. There's something more. Even Tim Tebow during that era, he wasn't supposed to be Pittsburgh. He just had something about him, some sort of winning, some sort of way to make it happen. You know, the football gods were on his side. And that's something that I don't think, who knows, I'm not a scientist, but I don't think that you'll be able to edit like desire and passion and drive and just desire to want to do it. You know, it's something that I don't think that could be edited. And then as like learning about the internal dialogue for me, I'm getting ready to run Los Angeles Marathon this March 19th, 2023. It'll be my 17th consecutive Los Angeles Marathon and my 58th total marathon. And my inner voice, my inner dialogue, because I'm one of those people, it does talk to me. Most of the time it's talking shit to me, telling me, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And as I'm learning, and I learned about it, I heard about it maybe about 2 months ago, that not everyone had inner dialogue. I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because some of the techniques that I've learned, you know, for my clients and for myself to better people, to help them out, I'm like, these wouldn't work at all for people that have no inner dialogue, because their brain is going to operate completely different. And because we are so different, and I mentioned blood types and everything else, I think we really need to take our time, step back, maybe let some of the AI tell us what are the possible negative consequences that could happen if we keep splicing and editing embryos. And then maybe when the AI gives us smarter, intelligent information, then we can make our decision on what we could do to change it so that it could be a positive thing for humanity instead of something to have to worry about. Because I, you know, just based on working at what, 4 or 5 different gyms, and me being part of so many running communities and jiu-jitsu communities, because I train jiu-jitsu as well, and playing basketball tournaments. And in fact, my son just texted me, are we playing basketball tomorrow? But tomorrow I got to run like 18 or 20 miles, so I won't be able to do it. But it's just really all about, to me, that's not going to be able to be edited. That's not going to be able to just be done just by some sort of scientific method. And there's more to humanity than what the scientists think. I think that most people, if you could give them a pill and they'd be like, hey, you're in shape, or hey, you don't have to work out. Because if you go back and check out that past episode of Fitness in the Future, I talk about that, about how they're working on it, how they're in the future. What they're saying is that you will die, but you won't die from disease, which sounds great. It can't stop you from, you know, getting hit by a bus, a plane crash, something like that, but you won't die from disease anymore. They're working on the aging, and it's all around the corner. And then little by little, as the AIs improve and improve and improve, they're going to change our way we live and the way we work out and the way we play sports. So these are all things just to think about. My name is Coach Ray Z, Athletic Definition, episode 177. And if I get a chance, I will be back tomorrow. And I will be recapping the WWE Royal Rumble, because I want my shot to be in it next year. And this is going to be my year-long campaign to say to whoever owns WWE now, I deserve my Royal Rumble moment. I want to be in the match. I have it all planned out. Definitely feel worthy. I think I could even ankle lock or choke out a couple WWE superstars. And if not, I could definitely just run around the ring until they all get tired, because I've done 3 marathons in 3 days, which that means they'd have to chase me for about 80 miles. And I don't think there's any of them there who could be the same endurance athlete that I am. So put me in. I can do it. Looking forward to it, and hope to see you all tomorrow. If you want to support the show, share it, like it, go on podcast, or you can click on the link and get yourself a designer Athletic Definition t-shirt. Thank you, everybody, for joining, everybody in the audience, Lou, and I don't want to mispronounce your name, and I think I need my glasses to see, and they're way over there, and everybody watching on Twitch, YouTube, everybody else, appreciate you. My name is Coach Ray Z. I'll see you next time. I'm out.